It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior because I'm on the grill, B?
From the chop.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here, just having a barbecue.
This is the Grillin' Guys on the Michigan Talk Network.
Welcome. You are listening to the Grillin' Guys. It's Saturday, and we're smoking up the backyards of mid-Michigan. I'm Jop. He's Bob. What's cooking, Bob?
Hey, welcome to the Grillin' Guys. We are live in the WBBL studios of Cumulus Broadcasting on the Michigan Talk Network. We are supposed to be at the Kent County Youth Fair, but we had a little problem getting the equipment out there, so we did a last-minute ditch, and here we are.
Well, and the PETA folks got on the side of all the animals that we were going to grill while we were there. And between the two of them, we just couldn't take the pressure. We had to get back down to the studio. But
yeah, I bet the animals are a lot happier that we're out here.
Yeah, the plan was to grill one of everything we saw. So, but we'll just talk a little bit about that. And speaking of that, we're going to break down a smoked pork chop recipe and a brining technique that Bob has used a couple times when he teaches his classes. And you guys are going to want to listen to that because it's great. Going to test your beer IQ today. Going to go through a little quick 10-question test, what you know about beer. I'm going to challenge Barbecue Bob. I bet he scores pretty well because I've seen him drink beer before.
Hey,
Big Paulie, our Goomba from the East Coast, going to call in with a couple recipes. And then the Friends of Goodwin have a new outdoor oven that we're going to debut today and point you to their website. So got a busy show. So thanks for tuning in. And let's jump right into those pork chops, Bob. Brining is a technique that you use to prepare the meat for the grill. Why do we do that?
You do it for several reasons. You infuse flavor. You infuse moisture. You do a little bit of curing because there's salt and sugar in there. And you do it because that's what your dad used to do.
Yeah, not my dad.
Not my dad either. Yeah. He wouldn't touch a pork chop unless it was on his plate.
Yeah, right. It was fried in a pan. That's the way my mom did them. But
largely you're trying to infuse flavor and moisture.
Okay.
That's the greatest benefit. And with certain animals, you're also doing a certain amount of curing depending on what you put in your brine. But in this case, I want to do it because I'm going to smoke it. And I know that some smokers in particular, not the good one, but some of your more basic ones, tend to want to dry the meat out a little bit. So you get a leg up on it that way. And with a pork chop in particular, you're dealing with a loin. And that is really dense, low fat, the most perfect piece of meat in terms of purity. You know, it's just a solid muscle.
Right. Right. Not very much marbling. Usually there's a fat cap on
but
it's not marbled through the meat, right?
That's right.
This is the pork loins that you can find at the store. They're about as big around as a softball, right? Are those the ones you're talking about? And some of them have the rib bone in them, and that's what makes it a chop rather than a piece of loin steak, right?
Well, if they're chopped, yeah, there's either a boneless chop or a pork chop, which has a bone in. In this case, we're going to take that whole section, which is the loin, and you can buy it boned, as you said, or you can get it with the ribs on it. And that is basically the beginning of pork ribs. Baby backs are right up there near that. The baby back drops down right off of that, and it's got this more severe arch to it. And then the spare ribs go down like from 3 o'clock down to 9 o'clock, if you're looking at a clock. And that also ties into the pork belly.
Pork belly, where they make bacon.
Bacon, yeah.
So what you did is you just took us from the loin, which is on the top of the animal. We went a little bit down. We hit the baby backs. We go a little bit farther down the rib cage. We hit the spare ribs, right? And then we go down to the belly, and that's where bacon is made. Mm-hmm. So you just got your anatomy lesson today.
Oh, that's where bacon is made.
On a pig. But so we're starting at the top today with this.
Yeah, so we're going to take that loin, and we're going to make up a brine. And this is a good, simple one. It's one that is probably pretty common, but sometimes those common things are common because they work and they get popular and people like them. So this one is about 7 cups of hot water, a half a cup of kosher salt, a couple cups of apple cider, and then some maple syrup, some brown sugar, and some cracked black peppercorns. So you've got the peppercorns for your herbals. You've got your salt for curing, salt and sugars for curing. Maple syrup, again, a little more sugar there. and flavoring, which is real unique. So you put all that together, you stir it in, you bring it to a boil, and you get it hot, and you basically heat it up enough so that everything dissolves and melds together. And then you pull it off the stove, you throw it in the refrigerator, and you let it cool down. You want it at least to 45 degrees. And
before you put the meat in.
Your refrigerator is probably set at 41, most of them 42, 43. So leave it in there as long as you can so it's totally chilled. That's right, because you're going to put a cold piece of meat in there. We're dealing with pork. We're not going to bring it to room temperature. We're brining. So you're going to bring that in. And, you know, sometimes a nice way to brine is in a cooler.
Right.
A long section like that fits in a nice cooler. And then you can put your brine in there. You can put a Ziploc bag of ice in there to keep your temperature down. But you're going to want to make sure that that temperature stays below 45 degrees in that cooler. And I'm going to brine this piece for a day or two.
So, but it's important, isn't it, that I have the brine, enough brine to completely cover the meat. I don't want any of it exposed. It's going to be underwater, if you will, or
that's
under
right.
brine, right?
That's why I like taking a plastic bag and filling it with ice and setting it on top of the loin, because that fat will want to make that loin buoy.
Float, you know, float a little bit, that, right.
It'll be buoyant. Yeah.
And so in this recipe, by the way, I'll be up on the grillingguys.com on our website later today. But if your pork loin is big enough or you use a cooler that's longer than your pork loin, you might have to double the recipe on the brine. Did you get enough of it? Because it's the point I want to make is it's important to have it submerged. You don't want any of the loin out of the brine. It's got to be submerged in the brine. Keep it cold in a cooler is a great place to put it because, as Bob said, you want this to be a cold brine. You don't want it to come to room temperature because you're going to lose your pork.
That's right.
There, because you're going to do this, you said, a couple days, right?
This is enough for about 6 to 8 pounds of meat.
Okay.
So do it accordingly. And you know, a lot of times when people fire up smokers like you and I do, we're going to smoke a bunch of stuff at once. So
right.
You might be doing a loin in this. You might be doing a brisket or some ribs or whatever. And this same recipe actually would be really good with some ribs. A lot of people don't brine ribs, but I'm kind of partial to it myself. And it's not anything we teach in any of the classes because the Kansas City boys don't do that, but
right.
Doesn't mean it's not right.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Grilling Guys on the Michigan Talk Network, and we're breaking down how to brine a pork loin. Again, the benefits of that would be that it's going to infuse some flavor. It's going to infuse a lot of moisture. And when you're smoking it, your meat's not going to dry out then, and it's going to have a real wholesome and robust flavor.
Yep.
Now, Bob, when you create that brine, what were the seasonings in that again? I know you said cracked pepper. There's a little maple syrup.
It's pretty basic, yeah. Salt, pepper,
and you said
maple,
some cider,
brown
maybe.
Sugar, and apple cider.
So we're going to get a little. We're going to get sweet. We're going to get a little fruit.
Yes.
Maybe just a touch of spice with the pepper.
Yep. Now I'm going to throw that on my smoke rack, and depending on what you have for a grill, if you have a Weber kettle, you can partition your coals to one side, throw some wood on the coals, put your loin on the other side and smoke it. Or if you have a nice smoker, you know, something a little more sophisticated, you already know what to do with that. But I'm going to probably smoke that at about 225 degrees for about probably 6 hours.
Okay.
It's probably going to take, depending on the temperature, maybe I'm going to get my internal temperature if I'm smoking it at 145 on that.
Right, I'm
so that I'm maxing it out. Again, pull out a good digital, check the center of that thing, and then you rest it, and you just leave it alone. You throw the brine out, sterilize that cooler. Again, it's pork. A little dangerous there with bacteria count. And then once it's cold, you can take those by the rib, and you can start slicing them off for your pork chops. You slice those off, and now you've got a perfectly smoked pork chop. Now what you do with it is whatever you want.
That sounds awesome. Coming up next, we're going to test your beer IQ here, talk a little bit about the Michigan beer industry, and Bob's got a whitetail report. Stick with us. We're the Grilling Guys. We'll be back.
The Grilling Guys on the Michigan Talk Network.